Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Hella Tired Podcast. I am your host, as you know, Bubba McComb, a.k.a. Sad Boy Shinobi, a.k.a. The Leaping Lapras, a.k.a. Pikachu Poppy, a.k.a. Ash Ketchum, Bagum, and I don't have an ending for that one. I'm sorry, guys. Today, we have a very, very special guest on the podcast. She is, and this is not just me saying things because people are here, you know? There's no fucking benefit in that, really. But let me tell you something. This young lady is one of my favorite comedians living right now. And she has been doing it for a very short amount of time. And she has impressed everybody she's performed in front of thoroughly. She doesn't know this, but everyone talks all the time. And everyone loves Savannah Hernandez.
Oh, geez. That's so nice of you to say. Oh, man.
Snap for yourself.
For myself. Okay.
So, yeah. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast.
Yeah,
this is going to be great. We have a lot of things to talk about. I have got a lot of questions.
There you go.
And those things usually just roll into something interesting. And, like, it's just an easy podcast. So, I feel like you come off as very, not timid, but, like, you know, like, oh, I'm... there's no darkness in me. Like, hey, guys, you know? Oh, hey, it smiles and hugs and stuff. But... your comedy says something else, and I want to get into some of the things you've said, okay?
Okay, cool.
But first off, guys, let me tell you something. I just want to give a shout-out to Kova Coffee for sponsoring the podcast. Please head over to kovacoffee.com and use code COVA5 for $5 off your first purchase and support the podcast. They keep track, so help me. And then we have a very, very amazing sponsorship announcement coming up later in the episode, so stay tuned. Okay, first thing, your joke, I'm not going to go and tell your jokes, obviously, but the one involving Catholic priests,
there
right?
You go. Yeah.
Now, is that a reflection of your childhood? Were you raised Catholic?
Yeah.
So you had that full experience, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so from a comedic perspective, of course, like, you're not here to do a TED Talk, but, like, what bits about your upbringing, like, fueled these little bits in the comedy? Was there really, like, a pastor or a priest that you wanted to fuck, or, like, what went on to, like, fuel these, like, bits about religion specifically?
So I grew up, like, super religious. Went to Catholic school for, like, 6 years until I was, like, 11, though.
Okay.
So we were really young. But, like, I just remember thinking about it one day. Like, it was, like, one of those bits where I was like, I should write about Catholic Church because that's funny.
Yeah.
And then it started off like a totally different joke. I don't really even remember, like, how it was in the beginning. But, like, the abstinence part of it was kind of like a throwaway line that I had at the end. And that was, like, the only part people were reacting to.
Yeah.
So then I was, like, kind of, like, you know, going through my shit, like, in the shower, on my drive to work.
So it's all day, every day, you're thinking about how to make it better.
Yeah,
so you're just okay.
I get so stressed about, like, going to open mics even, so
yeah.
I'll just recite my jokes, and then that allows me to kind of ad-lib and expand.
Okay.
And then, so I noticed, I was, okay, the abstinence thing, like, that's what people think is funny. And then I was in the shower, and I was like, you know what? We were so young when they were even talking about all
right.
this. So then I have a tag, and it's like, you know, we're 6 years old. Like, why are you telling us not to fuck the priest, or, you know, whoever?
Right,
and then I was
right.
like, and the priest is always, like, gross. So then I kind of just, like... built
there
on.
You
I
go.
Didn't actually want to, like, fuck a priest.
Right, but it's a personal experience that just let you think about these things, and it's, like, in a different brain, like a comedic brain, undoubtedly usually different than most. You think about things in a way different. The fact that the abstinence tag was just a throwaway one, it blows my fucking mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are the comedian personality to, like, sit or just be doing whatever you're doing, reciting your set over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the fucking shows, dude. You know what I mean? I gotta have to tip my hat to you and your stage presence and your joke writing abilities. That's just fucking awesome.
Dude, thank
that's
you,
awesome.
Man. Thank
and
you.
So what made you want to do comedy in the first place? Is it, like, you come from an improv background?
I started improv like a month before I started stand up.
Oh, so not even a background in it.
No, like I had my first improv class in January.
Okay.
And I just got, like, callbacks. Hopefully, like, I'll be in, like, the actual thing for it. I just auditioned, but
So the callbacks are going to be starting now that they did in January?
No, sorry. That I kind of skipped over like everything. So I took like the classes since January. Like I took day one, that was the classes. And then now I'm at like the level where I can audition to be in the main cast.
Got it.
Now I have a callback for that, which is really exciting. Ooh, and it's all happened like this month. And then, yeah, I started that in January and then I started stand up in February.
Now, did you start stand up because you thought that improv would be more like stand up, or were you just addicted to like the stage and wanted to be on it more? What drove you to do stand up rather than stick with improv?
Well, I've been obsessed with comedy since I was a kid, but like didn't really get into stand up until I was in college.
Okay. And then, comedy like movies and like,
yeah, loved comedy movies. Gotcha. Loved like, you know, quoting them and like trying to sound like the characters. Same. And stuff like that.
Oh, by the way, very, very good impressions.
Thank you.
Twitter knows what I'm talking about.
You know what I mean? That's a brand new thing. Yeah.
The Melissa Villaseñor shout out was a highlight of your life, as you pointed out. Guys, if you don't know what I'm talking about, please do us a favor and go to Savannah Rules on Twitter. RULEZZ.
I think something it's just like one that. Z. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You'll find her and then check out her Melissa Villaseñor impression. And it's fucking great. And if you're a fan of stand-up comedy, you probably know who that is. She was also in that show, what is it, Crashing?
She wasn't
crashing. Yeah.
She's a SNL.
Yeah, and SNL. Member. Okay, there you go. So now the impressions and stuff, that's new, you said too?
Yeah.
Also, all this is fucking within a year in your life.
Yeah. The past,
this
like,
is so fucking crazy.
Like,
man.
I think I'm out this month or next week, I'll hit my 7 month mark of stand up comedy. So it's all like really kind of just like going
there's,
off.
There's
and
so
off.
Much joy and happiness and just sheer envy and stuff, you know, like, it's just, and I'm not just saying this, like, I've had plenty of comedians on here. I'm not here to blow smoke up anyone's ass, but 7 months of comedy, just make sure you check her out and make sure you keep up with her. Go see her and say you did before her tickets are too much to afford. Cause big shit popping, little shit stopping, dude. Even though she's like, what are you, like 5'3"?
Almost 5'2". Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. So little shit stopping, not really. So what would that phrase be then? Big shit popping, little shit still not stopping, right?
Sure. I don't know the first one. Otherwise I'd try and help you.
I think it's a big timers reference. Okay, never mind. You're not
there
a fan.
You go.
Okay. All right. Moving on. They don't all
We're
hit.
Good.
They don't
We're
all
good.
Hit.
No, I think, yeah. So actually I worked at Tempe Improv last summer.
Okay.
And I just like got over, like I would go to every show and then I started kind of going to open mics just to watch, you know, I was like too scared,
feeling it out.
Way too scared to do it. And then like, I don't know, like something clicked. I think like after seeing like how like the process works of working on a joke, I'm like, oh, like comedians, I like, they don't go up and it's already good. Cause that's like, that was so intimidating to me before I started stand up. And then I was like, oh, these people are working on shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, finally, like, I just like fucking got the courage up to try it like the year following. But
so it took you about a year to do it.
It took me like, yeah, probably like a year of being obsessed with stand up before I actually tried it. And I only took improv classes to help me become a good stand up.
Okay.
But
okay.
Now I just love both of them.
Okay. As separate. Complete.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
Now what was there a moment though? Like, was there like a snap moment that you're like, all right, I'm fucking doing it. Like I'm taking the step forward. Like there's like a moment, you know, and for me at least, but like, was there a singular like occurrence that was like, yeah, I need to do this?
Honestly, probably like it probably happened like as I was working at Tempe Improv, like just seeing like people that I looked up to on like on that stage and just like thinking like I saw Taylor Tomlinson there.
Oh,
and
hell
she's
yeah.
like our age, you know?
Right, right.
And I saw Whitney Cummings there last summer.
So fire,
and
dude.
Rory Scovel and Nate Bargatze, just like all these like really like the summer after I graduated college, so like 2017, I saw John Mulaney do stand up at the Talking Stick Casino. It was like a small ass little casino show.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to fucking do that.
Yeah.
Like that looks so fucking
yeah,
fun.
It's always been so alluring. Like making people laugh. I'm sure have you been the funny friend your whole life too though?
Yeah, kind of. But like only with like my close friends.
Right, right. Not the funny person, but
yeah,
like
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Cause I feel like there's a lot of people, and no one in specific, there's literally not a single person that comes to mind because there's so many. But like, they're the funny friend in the group, mm-hmm. and they're like, fuck, dude, I'm going to do stand up then, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, if they can do it, I can do it. and they do it, and I love seeing them eat shit.
Yeah.
It's a great feeling. It's like, dude, that's not that easy. Mm-mm. Some people, it does come really easy too. Like, my buddy Wade did stand up once. He was just like, oh yeah, I'll go with you guys to Catalina, RIP. I'll go to Catalina's with you, and I'll do stand. I'll do 5 minutes. And I was like, okay, cool. And he's a musician. He's never done stand up in his life.
Right.
And he goes up there and fucking killed a room full of comedians. And I was like, the fuck, man?
All pissed
and
off.
I go up and I just like have a very mediocre set. Like how it's really right. hard. You know what I mean? It's so hard to make comedians laugh.
It is
especially
hard.
When they've heard even the premise that you've already spit
That's
out.
That's the hardest
you know,
part.
And everyone's thinking about how they'd make that joke better, and then it becomes unfunny to you. And not anything against a comedian, but like, yeah, those things start happening immediately. If like I hear someone telling a joke and it just sinks or it flops, I'm just like, and he could have said, but and sometimes I'll write it down and be like, hey, dude, like here you go, like this is just some things,
mm-hmm.
like not like you know. Here you go, son. You know,
here's notes
take
to be
a
better.
Tip from me. Yeah, no. I was like, this is like funny words that are just associated with that joke and stuff. And sometimes people take the advice, sometimes they don't. But it's always nice to try and give some like feedback. But some people don't receive it very well.
Some people don't. Very awkward. Unsolicited advice is hard, and I feel like in Phoenix we kind of try and build this like thing of like we're all cool with each other. So like giving advice, like
yeah,
it's not like condescending, but yeah, some people like
yeah,
that's their shit, and they just get like really sensitive about
and
it.
I don't get it. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, no one's telling you you suck, and here's how you do it better. It's just like a different perspective or a different word or whatever could make a huge difference. Like I started trying to incorporate a food place, like a food name place, in one of my jokes.
Yeah. Yes.
And I tried In-N-Out, right, which is very recognizable, mm-hmm. but it's just like, okay, there's no humor in that word,
mm-hmm.
In-N-Out, mm-hmm. unless you like do a innuendo or whatever.
Right.
Right. And then I did Wendy's, which is recognizable, and then everyone does a fucking little tangent on a Wendy's. So then I just did Fuddruckers. And I was like, there we go. That sounds fun to say. And I said it for the first time a couple nights ago, and it went very well. I was like, there it is. Like, that's just go. The one fucking word that makes that part of the joke is
the
extra
whole
laugh.
Thing.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
whole thing.
And I was like, all right, cool. Like, it feels great. But the times leading up to getting no fucking reaction or just someone going,
yeah.
Like a silent laugh. It's like, oh yeah. my God, I'm dying inside, dude. So I don't know. I don't know if I like, I don't think I definitely haven't told you this, but I don't think I've even, I don't know if I've discussed on the podcast yet. It's not a long story, but the first time I did stand up, I brought a whole bunch of my friends and stuff. They all came and supported.
Ooh,
and I did it at Comms, Comedy
oh, okay.
off Main Street. RIP. There's a lot of RIPs going on.
Yeah.
Here. No one's dead. It's just establishments or things and like that.
Just our dreams.
And so I had, you know, in my mind, a fucking great set because, like, everyone was laughing and stuff. But looking back, it's like everyone was laughing because they knew me.
Yeah.
They knew who I was already. And so my perspective is familiar to them. I don't have to create a shared one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did good, brought a lot of people, and then was invited to come back to a show the next week. And I was like, oh, shit, cool. You know, yeah. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm not that bad at this, you know? And then the next show, two people showed up, and I'm not talking about like all the comics are in the back still and stuff doing their thing. Two people in the audience showed up, and I didn't get a single laugh for 7 straight minutes. Almost the same exact set I did like
for
a
your
week.
Second set ever.
Yeah, yeah, right. And then I was like, oh my fuck, I just shattered, dude. But there was two shows, so at the next show, I go up and there's two different people in the audience, but it's only two. And I try to open with a different joke. I open with like an ass eating joke.
There you go.
And I lost them immediately.
We don't do that.
Mm-mm.
That's
Mm-mm.
gross.
So collectively 14 minutes, zero laughter. And that traumatized me. And I was like, all right, I can't, I'm not, okay.
Did it take you a few weeks to do it again or a
took
while?
Me a year.
Over so, yeah,
a year.
52. That's, I think that's in the realm of a few.
Over a year. I was like, no. And then what was cool, I guess, is depression really catapulted me back into doing comedy because I was like, I got to do something now. And the situation I was in at that time, I was like, I have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So I started comedy. And I was like, oh, this is really fun, you know? And I started the podcast a little bit before. I had one previously with my buddy Guyver, but I wanted to start one on my own everything. Like, I control all the creative stuff. I just want that.
You know? Yeah, for sure.
It's not like I don't like sharing, but it's just like scheduling conflicts became a thing always. And it's just like, we're always doing a lot. So it's just, it did not work.
No, yeah. Some things just work better going solo.
Yep. Like life, like going through life.
Alone.
Yeah. See, that's the thing though. You got to learn how to be alone and not lonely.
Yeah.
And that is a very depressing process. But if you can get to it,
no, I 100%,
you see life through a
agree.
Fucking completely different perspective. I don't know who has shared that experience, but it's like refreshing to know. It's like, all right, dude, I'm good.
Yeah,
like, by myself.
Yeah, yes, especially doing comedy too. Like,
oh
going
my god,
to,
cause yeah.
Like yeah, I had like the worst year of my life probably before I started stand up.
Really?
Like the whole year, it was just I was depressed,
Talk to me about it.
Yeah, it was awful. Like I had gotten out of like a really long relationship like right after college.
There you go.
And then you know I like kind of jumped right into a different thing, and then like all of a sudden, all at once, like I was alone. Like my sister moved out, I was living alone, and I just started drinking like a ton. Drinking got so bad, and then so come 2019, I was like, I need to fucking stop drinking.
New Year's resolution, bitch.
It really was.
New Year, new me.
It's so like cliche sounding. Like 2019 came around, and like in the first week of January, I signed up for an improv class, and I signed up for roller derby.
Whoa,
I
dude!
I did it until I started doing stand up, because then I just had no time. Like between improv and stand up.
Hold on. I don't think I've heard you talk about it on stage, but have you ever?
No.
Okay,
let's
go ahead and next. Okay, I know we have plans to for you to help me fucking good God write some jokes, and we're gonna have to write one about roller. So tell me, what was your experience of roller? That's very specific, and I'm very interested. For one, was that like a you know, when you're signing up for college courses and you have all the classes you need, but you fucking have to take another one? Was it like that decision, like a 2-for-1 on Groupon type shit? What made you want to do roller derby?
No, dead ass. I was like, okay,
I'm that bitch.
I'm alone all the time. Yeah. I wanted to do this when I was in college, but I was in acapella and I had classes and a job. Didn't have any fucking time to do it. So then I every nerdy hobby,
that's
I've probably
nerdy.
Done it. I've probably
it's
done
not
it.
Nerdy. That's the thing. It's like this is so fucking crazy to me. I can never see like, yeah, bitch, bah, you know, like with some fucking big ass hoes out. There,
no,
dude.
I always wanted to do it. Like, and like, I played soccer when I was a kid, sure. And I liked doing that stuff, and it just seemed like fun. And it's like a bunch of alt people.
Were you like a rollero kid? Like, were you like to roller skate a lot and shit?
I had roller blades. I loved roller blading all the time.
Same. After I saw Brink, it was over, dude. I'm so serious. After I saw that, I was like, get me a pair right now. And I was doing, you know, like the fucking goofy ass ones with like no like wax on the, in between, just like the straight four.
Yeah.
Four roll. Can't grind on it, no nothing.
No, you can't.
I didn't give a fuck about nothing. I waxed curbs so much to the point where I didn't even need it. I would just slide on the wheels and chip my wheels. And when I'm riding down the sidewalk, it sounds like I'm riding a fucking like. It's like, I just couldn't help
every
it, dude. I wanted
crack.
To grind.
Yeah.
But my parents never bought me the fucking good rollerblades, dude. I wanted the soaps when those came out. Do you remember those?
No.
Oh, man. The soaps were some serious business, dude. Soaps were shoes with wax on the middle of the soles. So that way you can jump on rails and curbs and stuff and grind them like you had rollerblades on, but they were shoes. They were like the Heely, but like the sick ass kind.
Was this before or after Heelys?
Oh, way before.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Were you born like 95?
Yeah, 95.
Okay, so like 4-year difference between you and I.
Oh, okay.
Which is enough to maybe skip the soap era.
Yeah, no.
You know?
I don't remember those at all.
So when you were coming up, Skechers were already whack, huh?
Yeah, maybe slightly. I don't know.
Skechers
I went to
cool
a weird Catholic school, so.
yeah. You had no sense of what was going on.
I had no, like literally like in a weird orb. I could only wear like plain white shoes.
Oh my God. Okay. So you sign up for roller derby.
Yeah.
And you start doing it, right?
I did it for like a month and a half. And then,
Did you get fucked up?
No, because like they go, it's not like they just throw you in like the rink and they're like,
okay,
fucking
fine.
Hit her. Like they have to teach you how to like skate and all the rules. And it's like, it's so fucking hard. I did eat shit. Like I ate shit a bunch of times.
Oh yeah, of course.
And bruised myself.
It's weird at the concaved thing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It changes everything, dude. It really changes everything. Party foul on my part, dude. My fucking phone just went off.
I was like, what was
damn,
that?
Damn, dude. No one even important either. Fuck it. Okay, we're going to come back to this roller derby story.
Yeah.
Sorry, okay. But guys, we have a message and an announcement from our new sponsors. We'll see you soon. Guys, support for Have the Tire Podcast comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Are you not a riddleist? Do you not know what the fuck I'm talking about? Let me explain something. Manscaped literally has developed everything you'd ever need to make sure you're never embarrassed to get your dick sucked ever again. I'm literally telling you. They have a product called the Lawnmower 2.0 that is a below-the-belt shaver, right? It's an electric shaver. Now, that sounds scary because, listen, I don't know if you've ever tried to shave your balls or the sides of your penis with clippers, with hair clippers, but you nick and you bleed and you shower and it hurts. And if someone's like, hey, what is that on your balls? You have to say like, oh, it's an electric razor, Nick. I'm so sorry. I don't have herpes. You know what I mean? It's fucking embarrassing. Well, Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer to make sure that never happens again. And I'm telling you, I got it. I got my package. I was using it. My hands were shaking. I was so fucking scared of nicking my balls. And by the time I was about 2 minutes in, oh my God, guys, it was just an invigorating feeling. I was just with just no regard. And it was just fucking fantastic, man. It really is fantastic. They also have ball preserver, crop preserver. It's like a anti-chafing deodorant and like lotion for your balls to make sure it smells so good all day. Make sure your fat balls don't rub against your fat, thick thighs, you know, with two C's, thick with two C's. But man, I'm telling you, this product has legitimately changed my life. Like I haven't shaved my undercarriage, dude, in years because I can't get it waxed because the regrowth process is just unbearable. But I can't trim them effectively either, man, because I just fuck myself up all the time. So just go to manscaped.com, dude. Seriously. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TIRED at manscaped.com. And you heard me right. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code TIRED. This is not a fucking drill. This is a real deal, Holyfield. Manscaped.com. Thank you so much for sponsoring the podcast. I love you guys. And yeah, enjoy the rest of the show, my baby motherfuckers. And we're back with more of the Hella Tired Podcast with Savannah Hernandez, a.k.a. the slithering serpent of ceremonious seas, a.k.a. the laughing Lucifer wet dream of Iceland, a.k.a.
That's the worst.
Food city phenomenon. welcome back. So before, so guys, how fucking awesome is that for the new sponsor? Thank you. Shout out to Manscaped for helping me keep my shit clean. Seriously, it's a life changer. And help me help myself by going and ordering one. So, all right. So you got in a roller derby. You did it for like a month and a half. Mm-hmm. Was it as cool as you thought it was going to be? Or was it at least leading up to be? So this is still something you were interested in doing.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome. I loved it. I loved going to practice. But it was just like, okay, I have to make a choice because I was working, like I work full time, work 9 to 5.
Okay.
And then improv is like at least 2 hours a week and then stand up. So it was just like between writing and like all that shit. I was like, I just don't have time.
And they probably meet a couple times a week, right?
Yeah. So they meet like, that's too much. Like while you're training, it's like once a week. And then, but like the days would always change. So like some nights, like advance, like it'd be like on a Friday night, you know? And it's like, I had to choose.
Yeah. And I think, I'm not discounting your roller derby skills, but I think you made the right choice.
Oh no. Yeah. I don't regret it at all.
There's no way you're as good as a roller derby person than you are as a stand-up comedian already in 7 months.
Dude, fuck no.
You could have been cool. Could have been, but you probably would have been drinking a lot.
You know? With those fucking hard-ass roller derby girls.
Right?
Hell yeah.
You coming over? Yeah. Yeah. So were they like, how were they like? Were they like how everyone depicts roller derby? Like just hefty hoes out there just like right-hooking men and just taking alimony and shit? Like,
no.
Or was it just a mixture?
They're all like,
I view it as like, dude, everyone wants to fucking get a little bit out, right? Like everyone wants to have some fun. So that's not fucking confined to any kind of body type.
No, dude, no, they're some of them were like, you know, like 90 pounds,
yeah,
like fucking like rockets, like my height, like small. And then some of them, yeah, like are like the stereotype of they're kind of like bigger girls, yeah, broad, yeah, like almost 6 feet tall, fucking
we're
huge.
Really good at softball.
you would know? Presume, yeah.
Just straight thigh to ankle, like no, just no, no change, variant, just fucking, yeah, straight muscle.
No, yeah, some of them were fucking rocks. And I was, yeah, like, oh, this is going to be interesting, like having to go up against that girl. But yeah, they're all like the nerdiest, weirdest, sweetest girls.
That's awesome.
Like straight up.
I mean, what's there not to like about riding around on your fucking roller skates and trying to learn how to hurt people legally? Right?
I know, because you're all so close. Like you're all like just, yeah, like, but then you're also like kind of, you know, edging, right, each other out, right, and being, right, like, right, that. Right.
And it gets sweaty.
It does.
No one likes sweat on sweat contact unless it's a very specific agreement. Maybe. You know, I don't even like people's feet touching me. I don't even have a problem with feet at all. It's, mm-hmm, just like, oh yeah, cool, okay. But what, the touching me, dude?
No, I don't like it. Oh,
even like my last relationship, like our feet touching out, like my foot and her foot. Ah, oh, man,
it just makes me like nauseous.
Yeah, dude, it was not. I couldn't help it. She's like, "What the fuck? What's the big deal?" I was like, "I don't know. I don't even know. It's just a reaction, and I know we don't like it. I have no idea."
You, yeah, know what I mean? No, I'm the exact same way.
Yeah. So, anyways, moving on. All right. So, what kind? Okay. So, I know I ask this a lot in the episodes, but it's just a thing I cannot let go, and I'm very, very genuinely honest and very interested in your selection of these. So, there's no wrong answers, but I will criticize you if you fuck up.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to need two things from you. And I'm going to go number one first. Top three favorite cereals.
Cereals.
Yes. Don't say I'm not a cereal person. Don't even preface it with anything other than, goddamn, I love cereal, Bubba. you know, wow. That's just so many to choose from.
No, honestly, there are.
Okay, good, 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 good. Okay.
There are too many. Okay. I like Apple Jacks.
Fire. That's your all-time favorite? Or is this in no order?
I can't do an order. Okay, I can maybe just like spit out a top three, but I can't.
Apple Jacks are just fucking perfect.
Classic.
They're like light. You know?
Yes.
They don't like hurt my, nothing happens to my gums when I hit it. They don't hurt me like Captain Crunch does, you know?
Ooh, he's
like,
okay,
an abusive relationship. It's,
I
like,
think Captain Crunch might good, be in my top three still. Like the cap, like the berry, right. Crunch berry, or that one. That one's fucking fire.
What about Oops All Berry?
Oops All Berry?
Yeah, they're all berries.
Actually, I don't know if I've had that.
Don't,
not
believe
as good.
Don't believe the hype.
You need,
dude,
the balance.
You need the balance. There's no pain. Mm-hmm. And like, how can you pour up Captain Crunch with that little dude with a mustache and not have pain?
No.
It's a weird thing. So yeah. Okay. With the berries is fire. Yeah. If I had to choose between original and the berries, forever original, but on a everyday basis, like, oh, I'm pondering it. Maybe,
mm-hmm,
maybe the berries for sure. Okay.
I love it.
You get one more.
Fuck. This is really hard. Cause I know I'm going to say it and then I'm going to go home and be like, I like a different cereal.
It's okay,
more,
dude. It's changes by the day. Sometimes by the half day, I'll wake up, I'll eat some Frosted Cheerios. Fire.
There you go.
And then by the end of the night, I might just want some fucking Reese's Puffs or something. You know what I mean?
That's a good snack one. It's good on like a donut, you know?
Reese's Puffs?
Yeah, dude.
I've never had Reese's Puffs on a donut.
That place, Novel Ice Cream, like right by Third Space, RIP.
Is Novel still there though?
I think so, actually.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that closed down. I don't know if it's that whole patio shit or if it was just Third Space.
I have no idea.
Okay, so they have a Reese's cereal donut.
Yeah, they put like a bunch of fucking cereal on it.
All right, I've had one with the Fruity Pebbles. Too much. Fruity Pebbles are so goddamn sweet.
Very sweet.
In a very undistinct way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, yeah, like, ooh, that's strawberry. Like, you know, no, you can at least pinpoint the Reese's. But like, I had the donut with the white frosting and the, it was just fucking gross. It was just a sugar bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to it. Okay. So, sorry. Your third.
You know what? I actually really like Frosted Flakes.
Yeah?
It's super good. Now, I don't know. It's a textural thing, I think.
Okay, but what, it has a thing though. A textural what? Do you pour it in and eat it right away so it doesn't get soggy? Or no, you let it...
Well, like, that's the benefit. Like, you eat them at first, and, yeah, you're like, crunchy, good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they're soft, and you're like, oh, this is still good. I like the varying texture. And then the milk after Frosted Flakes is fire.
It's so good. You're right about that, honestly. No, yeah, I can't let my cereal get soggy, dude. I pour, like, a little bit of cereal in there, and, like, all the milk I'll need, right? And then I'll eat the cereal before it gets soggy, and I'll just keep pouring a little bit at a time. Like a little bit.
I pour all the milk in, and then I dab, like, I take my spoon and I dab, I dunk it. Like I suffocate my cereal in the milk. Like it all has to be milked.
Jodi Arias style, dude. Eat it. Jodi Arias, yeah, just like fucking put it underwater for a little while.
Just fucking watch the bubbles rise up. Right.
And once the bubbles stop happening, you know it's time. You know you did it. All right. And so what kind of milk though?
You know, maybe I'll this is controversial. Not like that particular about my milk. Like,
okay. I thought you were going to say whole milk because that would have pissed me off.
I don't drink. That's like heavy whipping cream.
Right, dude.
My fucking cereal.
What the fuck are you eating that with? Like, oh, people are fucking disgust me when they eat cereal with whole milk, dude. Even 2% is like, that's too much for me.
It's a little thick.
Yeah, I don't eat milk or drink milk at all anymore because I'm lactose intolerant to a violent level. So, you know, I don't. But when I was a milk drinker, a.k.a. a Neanderthal, I would drink like 1% or skim milk by choice. Mm-hmm. Skim is a little nasty, but 1% is that hitter right
there. I like 1%. Yeah.
But like when you can taste the milk, that's fucking gross. You know what I mean? It's like, it makes me my fucking stomach hurt. So
now you're sick.
It's either oat milk for me or cashew milk.
Oh, I don't think I've actually ever had cashew milk.
It is. Good? It's just the way better version of almond milk. It really is. I don't even fuck with almond milk anymore or coconut milk. I don't like coconut milk either, dude. Unless it's like in a, like some kind of tea shit, like a chai latte type thing or something.
Yeah.
But coconut milk's watery. It doesn't give it that richness.
I don't really like coconut water either.
Me neither. It's fucking gross.
I like coconut flavor a lot. Just like
too?
Not.
Me fucking those too. I'll eat raw coconut shavings.
Yeah.
You know?
Straight
My mom
up.
Used to make this fucking thing. Like, I'm sure it's not special, but she used to, like, shave raw coconut and put it in with, like, granola and, like, dark chocolate chips and, like, a couple of other things, like a dried fruit or something. And just have it in a bag and just eat it, like, trail mix or whatever.
That sounds amazing.
It's pretty fire. Okay. Now, good job. Very, very okay, honorable cool. top three. There's been a couple people coming through here that have said cinnamon life.
Oh, dude.
You're going to top three that cereal?
It's like eating like cinnamon packing peanuts.
You know what? It's just like, yeah, what the fuck? Like out of all the cereals that you could have named, it's cinnamon life.
It's kind of a disgrace.
It's fucked up, dude.
I don't know who that was, but
I'm not going to call
him
out. It's no big deal. If you're a fan of the show, you know who the fuck I'm talking about. It wasn't that long ago. So if you want to go digging for it, you can. You know, I'm only going to say I've only been asking these questions for about approximately 4 episodes.
There
so
you go.
It's out there. okay. So the next top three. Now, this is not a new one, but I like the top three stuff because it really does spark some good conversation. And I'm passionate about some things and I'm opinionated where it counts. Right. Not politically. Sandwiches.
There you go.
Cereal and stuff. But I need your top three favorite movies, though.
Why you gotta do that to me?
Because I'm an evil bitch. And while you're doing that, I'm going to light this organic green tobacco cigarillo and sit back and watch Savannah panic and try to pick her top three favorite movies.
I am panicking a little bit.
I'm way less opinionated, by the way, when it doesn't has movies. Nothing to do with taste buds. It has to do with artist, like, you know, preference and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm way less harsh. Anybody can say anything. One thing I will say, you probably don't want to say The Notebook. That is the most boring, overhyped fucking movie I've ever seen. Yeah, it's a sweet movie. Yeah, it's not sad either. They die together.
It's kind of sad.
How?
It's pretty fucking
it's
sad.
It's not that sad.
Have you ever like loved a person?
Yeah, I have loved a person.
You just picture yourself dying with them and you're like, that's so good.
Yeah. Yes, dude.
That's one way to look at it,
like,
I guess.
You don't have to live without the other person.
Well, like, it's like
that's
fucked
real
up.
Hell on earth is living without the person you love most on earth not being here anymore.
Well, because he kind of was living without her, right?
No.
Because she's like, I don't know who you fucking are.
Have you
she's
lost just, someone?
Like, beating the shit out of him. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. They're not gone until they're gone. You know what I mean?
There you go. Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, shit, they're gone.
It's a good sentiment, but I think that...
it's just overhyped is all I'm saying. Not
no,
the best
I'm
love
not
story
disagreeing.
Ever
I'm not that. Okay. I'm not like, okay. That was number one. No, that's...
That's just the only thing, like, a top three, dude. Like, let's, you know...
Leave that to the white side, yeah.
Fucking white bitches, dude. Okay, go on.
Okay, just like for nostalgia purposes, I think I have to say Tommy Boy. I know every, I've watched it ever, I watch it every day. I watch that and The Sandlot every single day when Sandlot, I was like, okay. That's not in my top, but yes, yeah. Those are my two movies okay. I watched every day.
Now, did you just have two movies or those are the ones you picked?
We were poor. No.
Well, I don't know. I don't know your situation, dude. Your mom was like, no, mija, this is a fucking, no. Like,
these are the only ones at the garage sale. No, no. I just picked those. Like, and Toy Story 2. But like,
fire.
Yeah, but that, yeah, I just picked that one every day. I watched it every fucking day. So that's definitely in the top three. Second one is probably Lady Bird. I don't know if you've seen Lady Bird.
I don't think I have.
Starring Saoirse Ronan. She's,
That's a cool Saoirse.
Yeah, she's Irish. Oh. She's a great actress, but it's just like a really funny, like down to earth, like indie movie about a young girl in high school.
Okay.
Going through life.
Lady Bird.
Lady Bird. Okay, it's fantastic.
Shout out to Lady Bird.
Shout out to Lady Bird.
Okay.
And third, we're going to put this in there. Oh, geez. I know I'm going to regret saying this, but Pop Star, movie
Andy
with
Sandberg?
The Lonely Island. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watch that movie like once a week.
It's it's entertaining. It's not. Here's the thing. Here's why people can't say it's bad, because they didn't try to make a good movie. They tried to make a funny movie,
mm-hmm,
and it was funny and entertaining and exactly what it was supposed to be.
Exactly. Yeah.
I cannot stand people when, like, Tropic Thunder, right, is like the most loved and hated movie I think that I've ever talked to people about. Like, fucking stupid movie. It's like, yeah,
that's the point.
I know. Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. played a white guy playing a black guy. Like, it was like a actor Inception. You know what
like
I mean?
Like a weird, like, meta.
Right. And Jack character. Black was a heroin obsessed fucking, you know what? Yeah, it was a stupid movie. It wasn't supposed to be a goddamn Academy Award winning. Nothing.
Right. It's not a cinematic masterpiece.
They can't differentiate good and I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't like it, that's fine. Doesn't mean it wasn't what it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so great top three, by the way. And this is like a random question here, but let's just ask it. Has there ever been a sequel that lived up to its original?
Oh, I feel like
I have a couple that I truly think that are better, but I want to hear if you have any in mind
that are better.
Or I'm sorry,
or
on
like
par,
at least
on
as
par.
Good.
Yeah. Well, one on par.
The one that comes to mind honestly is the Toy Story franchise.
Yeah, they just keep making bangers.
I have
dude.
Not been let down by a Toy Story movie, which is insane.
Yeah. Okay, that's really good. Yeah, Boondock Saints for me.
Boondock
honestly,
Saints.
Honestly, yeah, the movie itself, like the first one, was cool in itself, but the second one was absolutely just as good.
Elevated.
And this is not going anywhere, by the way. This has no, like, so on the topic of movies, I just really wanted to ask that question.
No, yeah.
So, yeah, great top three, honestly.
Thank you.
My top three favorite movies go as top two, never change. Sweeney Todd, No Country for Old Men.
Oh, there you go.
One, two. I watch those any time of day. But I really, really like the Rugrats movie.
That's one that I have not seen in
the
a while.
One. Yeah, it's just so fantastic when they go to Africa, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So cool.
No, that's a great movie.
Yeah. So, anyways,
that's a diverse top three right there. Super diverse.
They'd all make me feel different things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Sweeney Todd is a musical. I usually hate musicals, like movies, not like actual in-person musicals. Those are fine. Like, those are fun to be at and stuff. But Into the Woods, Les Miserables, and just like live action musicals really fucking suck for me. For me, I don't like them. And Sweeney Todd just did something to my heart. It was the first movie where I've ever seen the main character, you don't know. Not only do you not know if he's a protagonist or an antagonist, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's depending on who you are. Whoever you are, he doesn't win.
Mm.
He dies. And it's like, what the fuck, dude? Like, you don't hear stories or movies ending like that, where the main character, like, the story ends. Like, oh, it cannot go on now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I loved that. And then the second favorite, No Country for Old Men, has no music or sound effects in it at all. And that it didn't happen on purpose. It took me like three or four times watching it. And I was like, there's not a single, like you know, no anticipation noises or anything.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that makes that movie a little more genius.
Interesting. Yeah.
Right? And then Rugrats, I mean, it's just fire.
It's just a good movie.
It's fucking fire, dude.
It's cute. It's funny.
Yeah. That could
interesting.
Be, yeah, that could be easily switched out for the Wild Thornberrys movie.
That's a great movie. One. I love that movie.
Lots of good messages in that one. you know, it's just, I like it. I like stuff that makes me think about specific emotions. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and all those movies have like a specific memory tied to them. It's just nice to be reminded of or whatever. Nostalgia is the most valuable currency on earth.
Mm.
If you can make someone feel like they're reactivating a good memory.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
A lot of great comedy comes from that. So many good jokes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the thing, too. Like, you know, I like people who are really good at joke writing, who write jokes out of, like, imagination and stuff. It's a pleasure to watch when it's done right. But I want to write, for at least for, like, the next year, like, my first year leading into my second year, I want to write nothing but my experiences. Because there's so much of that. That can be written.
It's a gold mine.
In a good way or a funny way. That would be good in stand-up comedy. And I think I'm better at that anyways, just articulating a story or telling someone what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like last night, we had a storytelling show, and that was my first time I ever did a storytelling show.
Mm.
And I never told a story in public before. Like, I told it to my friends and stuff, you know?
Right.
But I told it, like, on stage, and, you know, the detail... It's about the first time I did anal sex.
I think I've heard that story.
Yeah. I think you were at Catalina's that night.
Yeah,
and
I was.
I was on acid
you
that
were
night.
That was the first time I met you. I was like, hey.
Really?
My name's Savannah.
That's right, yeah.
I think I kind of know you online.
Yeah, and I think you were wearing like a green flannel type shit. And I gave you a hug and I was like, whoa, dude, this feels really good.
I was like, I have no fucking idea what I was wearing.
No, you're right. Okay, so I didn't want to include the specifics. I didn't know if you were there or not. And that just... completely ate shit. I had no idea how to tell it. I only had 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
It was a bad thing to try out, you know? Uh-huh. And I just tried it again, and I didn't have like a time limit last night. So it was about 12 minutes, I think.
Wow.
13 minutes.
That's awesome.
And it didn't suck. So I'm really happy.
There you go.
And I got filmed, and it'll be out there somewhere. So, you know, people are going to know.
I'm excited to see that because I've seen the first version. So I want to see the one that's twice as long.
Dude, it's pretty funny. And Josh Harrison and Steve Owens, I think a couple of names that people might know listening to the podcast, were out there. They did their stories too. Steve got way too high before we got him way too lit. Dude.
Bad news bears.
I just don't think he's used to smoking that much weed that often.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had to go tell a story. And it was just, you know, not his best work.
That would give me anxiety.
Yeah. And he was like, hey, man. He's like, how was it? I was like, it was, you know? I was like, you know.
He's
like,
did it.
Yeah. He's like, okay, cool.
You did it. Yeah.
look, come on, dog.
Dude, being able to tell a story for 12 minutes, that's props to you. That's rad.
Thank you. Thank you. And, I've just been telling that story for so long, like to people who want to hear it or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I just told it pretty much exactly like how I'd usually tell it. And it wasn't bad. Like there was a couple of tags that I got to like bring up, you know, and make it funny. I even got to do like one little bit of my stand-up material in the joke because it just fit in there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And the Fuddruckers reference.
There you go.
Right, it's a fun one. Yeah, it just felt really good. And I think that if I took some time and just, again, wrote the story and like know where some holes are, where it could be punched up, or just like one mention of something can spring into something else. But you can't really do that if you're doing it on stage only.
Yeah.
Unless it happens on stage and you listen back to it and you hear the difference.
Hold
and then
on to
make
it.
A note of it. Yeah, it's just hard. I'm making it harder on myself, I think, than it needs to be. But I'm so intimidated by writing because anything I write is just shit, dude. Mm-hmm. Like the idea is funny. What I want to talk about is funny, I feel like. But I don't know, man. Can't do it.
No, it is. It always like the first draft you write is going to be actual dog shit with like so
every
much
time,
fluff.
Most of the
so
time.
So much fluff.
Okay.
And then maybe you'll get like one good line.
So do you just type out an experience then, right? You just type out every... What do you include though? When you're writing out a new joke, do you include like emotion, setting? Like what goes into you writing a joke when you're consciously trying?
I write it just like it's like I'm... Like I would have to read it as a script later. So
script format.
Like I just type it out exactly the way I'm going to say it. And if I want to emphasize a word, I'll put it like in italics or underline it or
so
something.
So you're already thinking about how you're going to say it.
Yes. I'm
so
thinking
you're not
about
writing it first
the
and
inflection
then...
of my voice because like I'll write it as a paragraph. say it out loud to myself. Like I go to coffee shops a lot and people like will come up to me and they're, cause they can tell that I'm just like talking to myself. They're like, I do that too. I'm like, okay, cool.
Fuck away from me, bitch.
I know, I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. But like, I have to say it. Cause like, I want to know how it's going to sound because I know like that just makes such a huge difference of if it's going to land or not.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a, it's, I need to acquire that skill.
It's hard. It's so, so hard.
Because, I mean, I just, and I, everyone writes different, too. That's the most fascinating thing.
That's like, the other thing.
Almost every comedian I've had on here that I've asked about it has told me a different way.
Yep.
And some people do just write a couple of, like, tags, and then they go up on stage and do it. Like, that's the most common thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's not the easiest, but it's the most effortless, to be honest. Like, me just going up on stage and having an idea of a subject I'd like to talk about and just winging it until something's funny, I feel like that's lazy. I feel it takes longer, you know? So maybe you feel good about the payoff because, like, damn, all right, I've been working on that one for 2-3 months and it's finally good now. But, like, I think I could just make it not suck.
Expedite that process.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Because no one likes to do bad, you know? Even though when you know you're about to maybe do bad and you do bad, it still just feels like shit. You wish you could have been on that little high that you write out after a good set, which is intense, huh?
Oh, no, yeah. It's amazing. It's the best feeling.
Have you ever had like a late set and work the next day and had to like kind of just go home and go to bed?
Yeah.
Can't, huh?
Yeah, you, there's just so much like energy inside of you. Like you're just so pumped on life and you're like, oh, like, you just feel so validated because you've been putting so much effort into something. So you're like, oh, I'm kind of good at it.
Yeah. And all the good things just keep running through your head. And then, you know, and then I don't know if you share this with me, but then the self-deprecation sets in pretty hard. Like, dude, you didn't do that. You could have stayed around a lot longer. You didn't even give anyone your Instagram. Like nothing, dude. Like you fucking wasted. Like that night, like I'm just like, what the fuck? What do I do to myself? You know, that the happiness goes away so fast.
Mm-hmm.
It lasts the whole night, though. I will say, usually lasts until I go to bed and I wake up. It's like, oh yeah, all right, well.
Like I'm the same way. Like I think about like it's less that I'm like picking apart like parts of my set that could have gone better because I'm gonna do that anyway.
Right.
I'm more like stressed because now I'm like, oh well, now people expect me to be good. You know? Because like if I do good like at like 4 or 5 shows or like they've seen me there and those were all my polished jokes and then they see me do like a devil's open mic where I'm just like, hey, and then you know they're like, what the fuck? Like no, I thought you were funny. Like that's what goes in my mind.
And I don't think people who hold this, like not power, it's not power, but hold this, like, I don't know what people who book shows, just put it that way. People who book shows, I don't think they really realize what kind of difference they make when they're at an open mic.
Cause you
know what I mean? So if you see someone that's booking a show at an open mic, you want to do good for them because you don't want, you don't want them to be like, oh, this is Bubba. Like, I've seen him on a lot. Okay, well, all right. But I don't think that anyone on a booking level thinks like that anyways. I don't think people looking to go book people or going to the open mic to see where the, like, the fire is at. You know, they probably go to like some showcase shows or to some like whatever. But I never wanted to do bad in front of anybody. Like I had a, this is a Shady Park. Jerry Ryder puts on the Shady Park shows.
Yeah, yeah.
And I asked him before I was going to leave town for a little while. And I was like, hey, man, before I leave, I really like to just get a set in or whatever. And he's like, dude, yeah, come do 5 minutes. I was like, okay, cool. So I go to there. He lets me on stage. I have a good set. You know, one of the ones that are just like, okay, cool. That was good. Like, there's nothing like bad about it. Always room for improvement, but nothing bad. And in doing that, I got to meet this girl, Ashley Mosby, who puts on the Pitch a Tent Music Festival, who then invited me to do comedy there and stuff. Like, dude, you don't have no idea who's there just hanging out. You know what I mean?
You
like, don't treat an open mic like, well, fuck it. It's an open mic,
No.
Like, you got to just try and do your best no matter how new shit is, no matter how, like, bummed out you are about trying it, kind of knowing it might fail. Just, dude, I don't know. And we had a conversation about this last night, is people... okay, name drop a little bit. Josh Harrison and David Pena.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen both of them do like mediocre, right? Like when they're trying new shit out.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're doing mediocre, it feels like it's okay still because they have such a solid stage presence.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so like entertaining, You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I feel like it helps them not bomb or like not like get no reaction or something like that. Yeah. And it's just like such a fucking blessing to have that.
Yeah.
And I just commend those guys. And it's just it's not like funny in the way you see someone eating complete shit. It's
no.
like, it's funny in the way like this guy like can't be hated on stage. You know what I mean?
Commitment and energy will yeah. carry you, and emotion, those things will carry you, even if like the joke material isn't that funny. But then like when the writing meets those two, then it's just like, holy shit. Right. Like they're right. amazing. Yeah.
And so, I was talking to Steve Owens too.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking about like even his demeanor works for him. Like he's very like deadpan, and
yeah.
I use that word, and it's not a bad word. They try to like, you know, shame,
you're
like
dogging him.
Deadpan. Like, no, dude, it's just like, dude, I was like, I asked Steven, are you animated? Are you an animated comic, Steven? He goes, no. I'm like, oh, all right. You know,
no, it's a very like straight face, like delivery.
And when his jokes don't work, his presence makes it funny because he's just like, all right, this rolls right up. It's hilarious.
Right, right.
And like, I think that's a very cool thing to have. I mean, I've never seen you do bad, so I don't know what that looks like.
It's happened.
I'm sure, but I can't speak for you. You know, I don't know what happens to Savannah when she starts doing bad. I don't know what it looks like.
That's the hardest part.
Do you start talking shit to the crowd?
No.
Because that's
no.
the cringiest thing ever.
I can't do that. That's like one of my pet peeves.
Same.
Is when people start attacking the crowd.
Same.
Like, guess you didn't think that was funny. It's
oh, you'll
just
laugh at that, but you won't laugh at fucking baby rape jokes. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, now I don't even like you, you know?
No, I can't handle that. And also, yeah. like, I haven't, like, I've gotten, like, like, okay, so the way I write, you know, is very script-like. Like, I memorize what I'm going to say, and then yeah. I go on stage. And I think there's a benefit to that. But I think there's a benefit to the way a lot of other comics do it, where they, like, have bullet points, and they're like, I'm going to riff. Because that gives them, like, this much more natural feel.
In an open mic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Like,
yes.
If you're going to like a booked show with bullet points and you've never told those jokes before, that sounds rough potatoes. Like, I don't know if I could do that.
I wouldn't try.
That doesn't sound like a good idea.
Or to even go to like a new faces and have that big sample crowd. And I'm going to do all new shit tonight. Like, don't do that.
Maybe
give them a good show. You know, they paid to be there. You know what I mean? Don't fucking go work out new shit
not
with people that paid
new.
To be there.
Like,
yeah.
I know,
sprinkle it
like
in there.
Gary Goldman, like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know if you follow his tips and stuff.
I do. I don't take them to heart at all because I have a mental and emotional block somewhere deep in me. I don't know where it comes from. I think I'm good until I'm like, I read it. And it's like, fuck, that's the best advice I've ever read. And then it's gone
mm-hmm.
completely. I don't know what it is with me, but shout out to Gary Goldman. I love you.
His tips are really good, I think. They're good for people that are really trying to do different comedy, you know? And, like, everyone has different comics they look up to, and
right.
he's really talented. But he mentioned, like, if you have a good crowd that's paying attention, you know, it doesn't hurt to throw in a new bit in between ones that are already working.
That you know, right, right. And I've tried to do that a couple of times, but the couple times I've done it, it's just the
just
new
dips,
shit.
Yeah.
Big dip.
Energy is like, adios.
And some of the new jokes are like a minute and a half because they're not cut up yet or cut down. You know, they're a little longer.
A lot of fluff. You're like,
oh, yeah.
finding the punchline.
Yes, lots of irrelevant information. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? That's not
that's
not funny. Just explain.
But when
things.
You wrote it or when you thought it was really
hilarious.
Necessary.
Yeah.
And then no one's reacting. And then you listen to it and you're like, I didn't need to fucking say any
yeah.
of those words.
Well, like you can go through an entire process of thought in about 2 or 5 seconds, an
mm-hmm.
entire process in your mind because you don't got to do anything for it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you articulate it, it takes like a minute and a half because you're just like, it takes time to actually say what I was actually thinking. And all of what I was thinking isn't funny. It's just the beginning and the end of it was funny.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Fucking, I just love it though. It's such a, like a controlled chaos. Like I've never ever willingly made myself feel the way I feel before I go on stage doing anything else in life. I feel like I'm about to throw up.
Yes.
Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Pat, sweating, dude. I yawn. Like 30 or 40 times the 10, 15 minutes before
stress
I go
yawning.
On. Just like fucking kill me, dude.
Yes.
And then like when I get on stage and I shake the host hand, it's over. It's gone.
I agree.
All the nervousness is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking cool, but
in
it's devastating when the nervousness is gone and then you eat shit. And then it's just a whole night of bad, and you did it to yourself. And then you have to do it again.
I did this to myself.
And then you gotta go out tomorrow and try the same joke. You know what I mean?
Dude, yeah, it's yeah. Like, it was really hard. Like, the first, like, 3 months of comedy, you know, like, when none of your shit is, like, landing at all. And I was like, I just have to make myself keep doing this. And it's hard. It's so hard to make yourself get on stage.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, nervousness, I'm the same way. And people, like, I've had people come up to me and they're like, you look like so like good up there, like your stage presence is great, and that they're like they are surprised, like when before a show I'm pacing like back and forth, like running through my set, they're like, are you fucking okay? I'm like, I do this literally every time. Like,
I'm not okay, Susan.
I'm scared shitless.
Stress out, man.
Yes, like I have a show tonight and like the nerves will probably start setting in like the next hour or so.
Yeah, I'm just hosting an open mic and I'm shitting myself. I'm like, I don't even have to do a joke if I don't want to.
Yeah,
it's just, I don't know, man. It's just before it starts, it's just panic.
Killer.
Yeah.
Killer.
Do you have any remedies like that you try, or you just let it course now? Because I've like, never found anything that helped it unless smoking weed.
Mm-hmm.
But I found my buddy challenged me. He's like, have you ever done a set sober, like no weed? I was like, nah, not yet. You know, like,
were you more sharp? A little bit more?
Way more sharp.
There you go.
Like my, like hand gestures and animations were way more, not appropriate, but they were way more relevant to the story rather than just me holding my hands up in the air
the
and
details,
stuff.
Yeah.
And my, I was a lot more energetic because I wasn't like tamed at all. My natural ADHD ridden self was full mode, you know? And so I feel like I'm a little funnier like that. But last night, I was so fucking high. I haven't been that high in a long time because I haven't smoked that much weed in a long time in that short span. And my, like, it was in a backyard. It was a very like quote unquote quaint environment. And I told the whole story and I got very like very soft. And I was like, and then we lay down and then she put on a song and it was like that.
Yeah.
And it was, and it worked too, you know, but I think for the content, the anal whoopsie story, I think it would have been weird to be like, yeah, and then so, you know, I was fucking her in her ass. Like, that would not have been received well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
So, I guess it had its place last night, but stand-up where all my shit is, like, high energy, or I try to be at least physically moving a little bit, then smoking weed is not good for me.
Well, your material is very playful. Like, you're very, like, you know, I'm a goofy guy, like, super likable personality. And so, yeah, like, I get that. Like, if you're, like, a little bit more, I don't know, maybe quirky. Like, those little,
I'm
like...
Yeah, I'm just not, like, calm at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which is better.
Less relaxed, but it's, like, good.
Way less relaxed. But, yeah, for the ultimate goal of performing and doing my best for people, it's better
because it translates to energy is what
it
translates to. It's not nervousness.
It's exactly that. And I never thought about it that way, and I thank you for that. It makes me feel way better.
Yes.
And that's exactly what it feels like is happening, like putting those words, like you're having all that misplaced energy, not nowhere to go, and then you just unleash it on the crowd in the best way. Unless you have like a set like Jonathan Gerber, you don't want that to get any more aggressive. That's a perfect level of aggression.
Right.
If he had a way to be more aggressive, don't do it. Maybe he should smoke some weed before a set. But his set, he's an entertaining guy, man. I've seen that set he's been doing. He's been like, I don't know if you've seen him recently.
I have not.
Okay, so when if you guys don't know Jonathan Gerber is a local Phoenix comic, and he has a very unique style of comedy. It's very, very vocal and very aggressive. And when it started out, when I saw his set for the first time, I was like, God damn, dude. Like, some of that was funny, but it's like,
it's a lot to take in. Yeah.
A lot to take in. And he said some things that turns a lot of common people off.
Yes.
You don't want to attack anyone, right?
Yes.
And I don't think he was meaning to. But then I saw his set, essentially the same set, not the same, but the same. He's been polishing it, right? Just like anybody's been polishing their 5-10 minutes or whatever. And I saw it maybe a month ago, and I was like, holy shit,
elevated.
Dude. Way elevated. It was funny, and it wasn't offensive. Like, it was offensive, but it wasn't, like,
the right
pissing
amount.
The fuck, like, walking people, you know? And I was like, there you go, dude. If you just keep doing it, you just keep getting better. You know, you got to fight off the nerves and just let it take you. Just let the panic take you. Swim under a black sea of panic and anxiety. What do you do for your anxiety? I know you say you don't really smoke marijuana very much, and I couldn't even understand what else you do. Or do you just not, are you not a naturally anxious person?
I am. I'm very anxious all the time. Okay. But I just am so used to it. It's just like how I function now. Yeah, and yeah. I think like, honestly, this is going to sound so corny maybe, but like taking improv classes and like having to channel, you know, having to like, cause like I'm so anxious about what I have to say in a conversation, or I used to be, that it would distract me from what someone was saying, which made it harder for me to have conversations. Huh. So like in improv, you're trained to hyper listen to everything someone's doing on stage, because like everything's being made up and you have to make it seem like it's not.
Right.
So like really like retraining my brain to like hold on to a word and then like elaborating on that, like that helped me immensely.
Okay.
But that's like socially like anxious.
Yeah.
But like other, I just like, I stay super busy. Like I don't let myself like sit at home very often, and that's pretty much it.
And what do you, what, like when you get anxious, like we all do, what do you find yourself being most anxious about though? Is it like stupid shit, or is it stuff that you should be anxious about? Like what, how does it go through you?
I think it's mainly like when I feel pressured, like I get very existentially like I can't handle this, you know? So like with the Portland thing coming up, you know, that's just like giving me anxiety.
I know, and this is what I'm going to say is not going to cure. You're going to have anxiety until you get there. But here's the crazy part. You have money to buy your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You have a place to stay when you're out there.
I mean, I'll find one, but yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
There you go. There's literally nothing else that you need.
Yeah.
Every problem that is in front of you is gone now because you have a place to perform. You have the money to handle your situation, and you know, that's it. And the uncontrolled variables I've really got good at, but sometimes they creep up too at not putting worry and energy towards the things I have no control over. Like, yeah, someone could probably right hook you as soon as you get off the fucking plane in Portland, knock you out, take all your luggage, your wallet. That could happen. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I've gotten good at worrying about not worrying about that kind of shit. Like the what ifs, right?
Yeah.
That would destroy me.
Yeah.
That would fucking completely destroy me. Shout out to therapy.
There you go.
Shout out to psychedelics. I don't know which helped more. I don't know, but they helped a lot equally. But yeah, I just try not to worry about those things. But I never have money, so that's always the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I would love, I would be, I got my first taste of like festival stuff at the Four Corners Festival.
Yeah, congrats on that. That's awesome.
Congrats on And it was amazing. It was, I really like, it was like any other festival I've been to. Like everyone was just there for a reason. Everyone was happy to be there. It was all good vibes and stuff. So like I want to start applying to every fucking festival. I just can't yet. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you've got it. You got it, dude. You've got it covered. You're good. So when you think about Portland and you get anxiety, just be like, dude, I'm that bitch. I'm that bitch. You're going with Alexis Chardet too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
And a Portland native.
Yes.
So dude, she'll fucking take you under her wing.
Yes.
She's hipster as fuck, dude. She'll show you where all the cool dive bars and shit. She's got friends out there, I'm sure. And you guys have a great time.
Yeah, no.
So try and focus on that when you think about it.
I know. I just, you know, I'm like, well, all my jokes are not good enough to go to.
Fuck you, dudes. Fuck you.
That's like a real, like, I'm not just saying that to be.
I know.
It's like a real, like, all these comics are going to be really good. But, you know, it's like, we're, you know, when it comes, I'm sure it's just going to be like really fun. So.
Yeah. And you are good enough. Dude. Like, I'm not. Again, I will never just say things to say things. No one needs that in their life, right? Not even for a podcast. There's no, it won't make this episode any better, any worse. But you are better than most comedians in comparison to the time put in. Seriously. And I'm not
talking
about like overall, you're top two. Like you're being asked about, talked about. You've been doing it for 7 fucking months in a week, right? Like you are way ahead of a lot of people who have been putting, you know, an effort, but it's a light effort, maybe a strong effort, but they just are putting in the wrong place. I don't know what keeps people from progressing at a rapid rate, but you're doing it. And so I know it's hard to feel deserving, right, of it.
Definitely.
Because there could have been a 5-year comic that you think is funnier than you that doesn't fucking matter. And I've had this like this survivor's guilt too, dude.
No,
right?
I
it's like, I don't deserve it, dude. But I can't feel good about the small accolades because like I'm just like, yeah, no, I haven't put in my time. So it makes the little things hard to enjoy. But I'm telling you, like you are good.
Oh, thank you.
And you, I would be fucking hyped to not know who you are and see you at the Portland Comedy Festival.
Like,
it just like, that's just going to be your crowd. Like, I think that you'll do very well. You know what I mean? Especially with the glasses.
Oh, they're new.
Yeah.
Kind of new.
Fucking like, fly, dude. Thanks, and I like man. How they have like a false bridge. It like, oh, yeah. I like that. I've never seen that, to be honest. Is that like a popular thing or is that the first time you've seen it too?
I've
never
seen
that.
The first time I've seen it, I was just like, oh, these look huge.
I know you guys can't see, but she has like, I don't know what to call them, but the regular things that sit on your nose, like normal glasses have.
Yeah.
What are the little things that form to the side of your nose?
Oh.
Do they have a specific name?
I don't know. Whatever.
But then she has a bridge, like how they should be connected to in a normal pair of glasses, but they're not normal. Savannah is not normal, dude. And it's just tight. Gold is a very good accent. Gold over silver all day, every day, right?
There we go, yeah.
Fuck. Unless... No, yeah. No, there's no one lesses, really. There's no one lesses. Gold and silver. Well, Savannah, it's been over an hour, and this was the easiest... I don't say this a lot, but I say it enough to acknowledge it, but this is probably the easiest hour I've ever done.
Oh, man. Well, good.
It's very good.
Well, very good.
Before we go, I'm not going to put you on the spot or anything, but I am going to ask you, do you care to do a couple of impressions?
Yeah, I can try.
Maybe one you've been working on, too?
I can try that.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, everybody. Live from the Hello Tired Podcast, I present to you the vocal workings of Savannah Hernandez. Please enjoy.
Do you want me to do it? Because this might get loud, so I'm like...
Got you.
Okay. Jeez. All right. This one, I'm gonna try it for the first time tonight, actually.
Yeah?
So, like, we'll try this one.
Okay.
It's not where I... Ooh. Or should I do... Okay, yeah. Okay, we'll try that one.
Okay.
This one is Christina Aguilera watching a horse race.
Ooh. All right, you heard it first. Christina Aguilera watching a horse race.
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no. Oh, oh, yeah. Tonally, it's not where I want it to be. That's like, that one is like 75% there, but I'm doing that one tonight.
Oh yeah, that's a good one, and it sounds like Christina Aguilera.
Thanks.
So hats off to you on that one. Okay, and I gotta have one more now, dude. You gave me like a you gave me like a cracker without the cheese on it. You know what I mean? I'm like, hey, yo, what the fuck, dude?
Ooh, okay. This one. I don't know if you've seen this one. You've seen Shakira, but I don't know if you've seen this version of it.
Okay, yeah. I've heard the Shakira one, which was also fantastic. So let's hear it.
Okay, we'll do this one.
Okay.
Okay, this is Shakira learning the alphabet.
This is Shakira learning the alphabet by Savannah Hernandez.
A. Her. B. I am on it now, you know my hips don't lie. That's it.
Everybody, Savannah Hernandez, put your hands together.
Thank you so much, man.
Can we get an ASMR moment from you? Is that okay?
Yeah.
An ASMR moment? Okay, I'm going to let you ponder what you want to do for about 5 seconds, and I'm going to crank this bitch up, and you have about 30 seconds to do whatever you want.
What do I do?
I don't know. 5, 4, 3.
That's all I got, man. That's all I got.
Okay.
I don't know.
Thank you for being such a good sport.
Oh, yeah, you're
I
welcome.
Know this is something you never wanted to do, but no. I appreciate it. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Okay, so Savannah, one more time, can you please let us know where we can find you?
Oh, yeah.
This comes out in 2 days, so tonight's show, sorry, good luck, but
thank
plug
you.
Anything else you got coming up in the future. Yeah, take some time. Actually, yeah, go ahead and pull up your shit. Before she go ahead and do that, one more shout out to Manscaped for sponsoring the podcast, brand new sponsor. Please head over to the website manscaped.com and use the code TIRED for a special discount at checkout. I'm telling you guys, man, I usually don't want to get my dick sucked because, like, you know, I'm who I am. I look how I look. You know, it's like I just don't have a lot of self-confidence, dude. And that's just real. And that's fine. You know, you know, whatever. But telling you, man, I got the Lawnmower 2.0 and I wouldn't even be hesitant if someone wanted to suck my dick right now. Like, oh, dude, you know how good it smells down there and how fantastic it looks. Like, that's the only part of my body that I'm like actually yeah about now. And that's it. It's exclusively. So shout out to Manscaped for the newfound confidence. Also, shout out to Kova Coffee. Head over to kovacoffee.com. Use code COVA5 for $5 off your first purchase. I love you guys. Thank you for the sponsorship. And please, Savannah, if you're close, go to the Portland headquarters, the Kova Coffee Portland headquarters.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I will actually tell them that you're going to be in town. And if you're a coffee fanatic...
I do love coffee.
They will fucking hook you up. I guarantee it.
Hell yeah.
If you like a tour or something, I don't know what the fuck, but if you want to do something there, that for sure happened. So Savannah, please tell us where we can find you and what you got going on.
Let's see. So I'll be at the Big Pine open mics going on this upcoming weekend.
September 18th through the 22nd, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I'll be at New Faces at Stand Up Live on the 29th.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. New Faces of Comedy at Tempe or at Stand Up?
That one's at Stand Up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's Stand Up Live, downtown Phoenix. Tickets are free if you say Savannah Hernandez's name at the door. Tell them you're there to see her. There's a 2-drink minimum, but just don't be a cheap bitch. You know, just go and support. There are... a lot. That's a very good experience. You want a full spectrum of how comedy can be?
Yes.
I'd say go to a New Faces show. You see first timers, you see people dropping in that have been doing it for a long time. The host is always usually a seasoned comedian. You got seasoned comedians, you got people that just eat total shit and make everybody hate them. That's a fun thing to witness.
It's happened so many times. Right? At least usually one, like a
once
show.
Once every show. You mm-hmm. get someone gets up there and they're like, this fucking guy.
Yeah.
And they're not attacking anyone. They just suck so aggressively that it's just like, dude, fuck, this guy sucks, man.
It's painful.
Yeah, right? So, please support her and all you do. Go follow her on Twitter at Savannah Rules and share her her impressions and stuff. Great Christina Aguilera impression.
Thank you.
So, guys, this concludes another episode of the Hell podcast with Savannah Hernandez, and thank you guys so much for the continuous support. If you guys want to donate to the podcast, you can subscribe for $1, $5, or $10 using anchor.fm/hellatiredpodcast/support. I'll put the link in the description. Help me buy weed. Actually, that's usually what all my extra money goes towards, is weed. I need it. So help me. I love you. Bye.